even if things might not go the way we hope or we dream, we trust you, God, and we trust that you got a plan. You know a lot more than we know. Kind of just a little bit of a funny story. We were in there this week starting to do some demolition and cleaning up some of the stage area, and there's these weird, like there's poles all over the place because the whole building was built, you know, really quite well on steel structure and concrete, but there's some poles there that they weren't carrying anything. And I'm usually thinking in terms of construction. I'm going, well, you know, if you got a you got a column, as we call it, it's a column and it's going to carry something. And I said to my son, this is really weird. Like there's two columns here, but it's not carrying anything. Like there's no weight. And he looked at me, he said, Dad, yeah, those are stripper poles. I'm not going anywhere. They're just sitting there, right? Like he says, Dad, those are stripper poles. Don't touch them. Shows you I'm a little bit naive. I don't know that much about this stuff. Last week, we were talking about Jesus. Before I say that, I get into this, I just want you guys to know Mal and Earl and your three wonderful kids, we continue to pray for you. I know that you've taken another backhand from the enemy. This is not over until it's over. That it was wonderful to see you dancing up there. You're going to be dancing again. God's not done. We continue to pray for you. And we believe in the power of prayer. And cancer is nothing to Jesus. And he's delivered you of that before. We're just going to stand with you. No matter what, we stand with you. You have a beautiful family. And we do that for Kevin, too. He's not here today. I don't know what's going on with Kevin. But let's just keep remembering each other. That's how the body functions. That's how we care for one another. That's how we love each other, as we pray and we hold each other up and we encourage each other. It's so easy to find, you know, what's wrong in one another. That's not hard. It takes work sometimes to build each other up and to see the good and to see what Jesus is doing. Just encourage you to do the extra work. Encourage each other. And when someone's struggling, tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're praying for them. When someone fails, someone stumbled, tell them it's okay. It's all right because Jesus has your hand and we've all stumbled and we're not here to judge. We're here to build each other up. We're here to be the body of Christ. Yeah? And that kind of leads into what we were talking about, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And it struck me last week that there's hardly a more clear teaching of Jesus than when he's speaking to the Pharisees. When he speaks to the religious leaders of his day, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, like, he is just cutting through like a knife. He is just right at them, you know. You guys, you think you know. You act like you are better than everybody else. And everything you do is for show. And you have all the money and you have all the education. You have all the esteem of all the people. And yet you don't love. You don't love. These are your people. And that was what we were talking about last week. That we were talking about the lost sheep, remember? What was the one thing that was really important about the lost sheep? He's at your table, right? That it's your lost sheep. That's what I was preaching about last Sunday. That it's not just the lost sheep, but Jesus says to the Pharisees, suppose one of you guys had 100 sheep and you lost one. So we sometimes hear sermons about that and we go, well, it's always the fault of the lost sheep. It's not the way Jesus presents it. It's the fault of the Pharisees, the teachers. It's our fault. Ultimately, we ended up with that, right? This is my fault. This is my lost sheep. This is the person who sits around my table. Because Jesus sat and he ate with sinners, right? The lost sheep belongs to me. I want to just carry on a little bit more this morning because it's really struck me, the whole business of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and what religion is like and what religious leaders are often like, that Jesus was hard on them, that Jesus was very specific, and his indictment against them was fierce. It hit me, and I read this last week, but I'll just quote it right now, but from Luke chapter 18, when he said to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, he said that they were confident in their own righteousness. He says two things. They were confident in their own righteousness, and they looked down on everybody else. And when I read that, I go, man, I just don't want to be like that. Right? I know what I want, but here's what I don't want. I don't want to be confident in my own righteousness. I don't want to walk around going, you know, I'm doing pretty good here. I've kind of arrived. I wish the rest of you would kind of get in line, you know. I don't want to be confident in my own righteousness, and I don't want to look down my nose at anybody else. And whenever I have done that, I repent. And there have been times when I've done that in my life. I've been on the other end of that, where people have judged me and have looked down at me and looked, you know, I was on the end of their nose. I know what that feels like, so forgive me, God, for any time that I've done that to anybody else. But it is a stunning statement. Jesus says that they were confident in their own righteousness and they looked down on everybody else. Not just some of the other people, they even looked down on each other. I'm better than you, right? I'm way better than you. And Mel, I don't even want to go there, you know? I want to read some more about what Jesus says about the Pharisees, because it's important, I think, and we want to learn about that. So in Matthew 23, I'm going to begin reading in verse 25. Matthew 23, verse 25, and this is what Jesus says. And you wonder when you hear this, why they wanted to kill him, why they got aggravated and why they were offended with Jesus. It's because he didn't beat around the bush. He wasn't very politically correct. He just kind of put it exactly the way it was. He says this: "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites," he says. "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Did you hear that? I think we can relate to that. We tend to look at the outside also of people. I mean, look at Pam. You look beautiful, right? Pam's well-dressed, got a nice hair cut, got a great smile. Pam's a wonderful person. She's got a beautiful, you know, you look at the outside. I mean, look at Rick, you know? Look at this guy dressed up in shorts. He's got a chain around his neck. And, you know, I mean, we spend our lives looking at the outside of people, right? Look at Crystal. Look at the beautiful curly hair and the nice glasses that she has. We look at the outside. My son has three sons, and they all are like in grade, you know, 2 and 4 and 6. And every single one of the one grandson who's in grade 6, everybody in his class has braces. Every one of them, because they want to have perfect teeth. Nowadays, like when I, obviously, we didn't have that. Not all of us had braces. Nowadays, everybody has braces because we look at the outside and those things are important. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you look at the outside, and that's all that matters. You Pharisees, you religious leaders, the outside of the cup is shiny, and it's bright, and it looks pretty good, and you think you're doing pretty well. But you're only concerned about the outside of the cup when I'm really concerned about what's inside. And I guess I'm saying that we kind of relate to that because we live in a world where we spend a lot of our energy looking at each other's outside. We care about whether our teeth are capped, and whether we have a tan, and whether our hair looks good, and, you know, all the things that belong to the outside things. And that's exactly where the Pharisees were. They cared about what people thought of them. They cared about the outside of the cup. They wanted everybody to think that they were pretty special. It was, in fact, Jesus says in verse 5, I didn't read this, but I will now. He says in verse 5, everything that they do is done for men to see. Let me just say that one more time. Everything that they do is for men to see. That all they cared about was what people were thinking about them. And maybe that affects you too sometimes. Affects me. You wonder what people think of you. You're worried sometimes maybe what you look like or what they think you look like. But the Pharisees, that was all that they cared about. All they cared about was the outside of the cup. Are you following that? All they cared about was the show. And for them, it was a real show. They strutted around. And I could read more in Matthew 23 about how they strutted around and they wore the robes that were amazing and the lapels that they had were extra wide so that everyone could see that I'm a teacher of the law, and I should be esteemed. And as a matter of fact, I'm quite a bit better than you. You don't believe that, do you? No. So Jesus says, all you care about is the outside of the cup, when what really matters and what ought to have much more precedent in your life is the inside. The matters of the heart are the things that you don't care at all. All you care about is what people think and the show of it all. And that everything is a photo op, right? But you don't care about loving people. You don't care that these people that you should be leaders of, that they need guidance, that they need your help, that they need your love, that they need your mercy and compassion. In another verse in Matthew 23, he says, you forget the important things, which are faithfulness and mercy. You forget all that stuff because you spend all of your time worrying about the exterior, about the shiny part of the cup. But what you don't know about my cup is that even though it looks pretty good on the outside, is that inside there's some creepy crawlers, and when I drink it, you got to spit them out. Little floaties. I don't know about you, but I don't like floaties in my coffee or in my water. But that's what Jesus is really saying. He's saying, you guys have a lot of floaties in your cup, and no one knows it because no one sees the inside of your cup. We only see how bright and shiny you are, Fortong, but there's something going on inside. We don't always know what that is, right? You can get a cup, by the way. In fact, I think almost everyone has one, and I was looking for mine in the cupboard, and I don't have it anymore, and it kind of worried me. You can get a cup that says, World's Greatest Dad. I don't know where that cup went of mine. It's kind of troubling that it's missing. I don't know why. You can get a cup that says, World's Greatest Dad, but I got news for you. It doesn't make you the world's greatest dad. And that's really the point. We start today's. You can have, it can be written on the outside, and I don't know what's written on the outside of your cup. Maybe it's a good question to ask today, but you know, what is written on the outside of your cup? What are you portraying? What is it saying about you? But here's the truth. It can say that you're the world's greatest dad, but just because it says it on the outside doesn't mean that you are on the inside. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just a minute here. So the question today, and this is a really personal message. It's a personal, it's a very intimate question, and it's something that we got to really ask ourselves very deeply. And the question is, really, it's who are you really? Who are you really? What are you really made up of? And essentially, when we get to the matters of the heart, what's your heart like? What's your heart really like? Not just what's your heart that you're portraying or you're trying to show us all who you are, but what's on the inside of your cup? It's a question I believe that Jesus would have us ask today. What's on the inside of your cup? What are you really like? Essentially, what makes you tick? What's your starting point? What are the things that you really love? And these are questions that are very important questions that have more to do with our motives, more to do with our integrity, more to do with who we actually are than who we're portraying ourselves to be. And you might say to me today, well, I've got good news for you, Pastor. I'm doing a lot of great things around here. And I do lots of good things in my life, so I can tell you that the inside of my cup must be pretty clean because I give blood, and I sometimes come to the kitchen, and I tithe, and I'm a good neighbor. I even mowed my neighbor's lawn once last year, so I've got great things going on, but I got bad news for you. See, that stuff, all the things that we do, and it's, man, the church is so driven by do, right? We've all got to do more, do this, be at this, you know. But here's what I want you to know today. All the things that we do are really only to do, they're all about the outside of the cup. Those, all stuff, your resume of your Christian life and how super spiritual you are, it's all what's on the shiny side of the cup. It's not about what's the inside of the cup. The inside of the cup has to do with much more like things like kindness and love and not being judgmental, and that when I have an enemy, I pray for him rather than I try to destroy him. It's the inside of the cup are things that relate to the fruit of the Spirit, the goodness and the kindness and the faithfulness and the love and the joy, right? And the patience. When those things start pouring out from my life, then we begin to see, you know, where the love, and we see what's really happening on the inside of our hearts, in the inside of the cup. And I believe that we often misjudge one another. And I got an example of that from Tuesday. There was a guy on Tuesday on the streets, and I was trying to get to the soup kitchen, and he was just having a terrible day, and he has terrible days from time to time. And he's literally beating his head on a wall of a door, actually, of a business. And his head was splitting open, and I tried to talk to him, and he wouldn't listen to me at all. And I thought, man, I said a quick prayer, but it really wasn't very powerful, I don't think. And he kind of just went down the back alley. I finally drove around the corner about 15 minutes later, and I got to the soup kitchen, and there he was. He had made his way to the soup kitchen, and there was a young man there, and this is a young man that he's probably 25 years old, and in my heart, I have thought about this young man, that he's just angry. He's struggling. He has stormed out of our devotion sometimes, going, I don't want to hear any of this God stuff. And I've judged him. I've thought, you know, you're just angry, and you got a lot of hurts, and you're wounded. But I got to tell you what happened. I was watching. I just parked my truck, and these two guys knew each other. The young man who was angry and the one who was banging his head. And the one who was angry, who's always struggling, he walked up to, I'm not going to say his name, but most of you probably know who I'm talking about. He walked up to this guy whose head was split open, and he just wrapped his arms around him. And he just held him. He just hugged him. He says, it's going to be all right. I love you. I don't know exactly what he said. I couldn't hear him, but I watched him. And he held him for maybe 3 minutes, just gave him a hug. And he broke the hug, and then he walked away. He walked away from him just as I was walking past him. And honestly, he and I have never really had a conversation. He's never liked anyone in leadership there. But I looked at him because I was so impressed, and I just said to him, you know, that was extreme kindness. What you just did, I said to him, that was extremely kind. Way to go. And he looked at me. I think he was surprised. I won't get into all this, but later on, we had a conversation. He started to actually look me in the eye. He waved at me when my truck went by later in the day. And it was all a lesson for me. It wasn't a lesson for him. It was a lesson for me that I judge him. You know, he's got tattoos. He's got that shaved head. He's got this big muscular body. He's got the sneer on his face. I'm going, well, I know what you're like. You know what? We don't know. We don't know. And he's doing the same thing to me, right? Messages, we don't know. You don't know what's on the outside. And we're pretty good at hiding. And we're pretty good at shining up the outside of the cup, but we don't know what's on the inside. And the question is really, what is on the inside? What's in your heart? Who are you really? Who are you really? Not who are you pretending to be or who are you showing us all who you are, but who are you? Who are you really? Who are you really? And a lot of times, we're just kind of responding to some of the stuff that happens to us during the day. I'm going to use another example from the kitchen for some reason today. This is where it just comes from. But I usually have a coffee cup, or got water or coffee in it, and I'll be talking to people. I have had it in my going around having coffee with people and meeting with people that on more than one occasion, somebody, when they're speaking to me, will they'll spit in my cup. And I don't like it when they spit in my cup. Like, I've got to get another coffee, right? So if you watch me, if I'm at the kitchen, a lot of times I'll do this when I'm talking to people, because I might not always see it when you spit in my cup. And sometimes people, they're whatever, for whatever reason. It's not just at the kitchen, by the way. Some of you do it too, and we're when we're having, you know, one of our big meals in the back, you got to be careful what we're eating sometimes. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is I find that in my life, sometimes I go through my day and someone's been spitting in my cup. And sometimes I'm angry because someone who was angry spit in my cup along the way. Or sometimes I'm offended because I've crossed paths with somebody who has been offended and they found a way to spit in my cup, in the inside of my cup, right? Or sometimes I'm judgmental because someone judged me. But that's not what God says we're supposed to do. I'm supposed to love my enemies and do good to those who hate me. Not, it doesn't say, make sure you treat everybody the same way they treated you. If they're angry with you, you just get angry back, man. That's not what it says. If they judged you, you should just judge them back and just give it to them. Nail them. That's not what it says. That's just because they spat in my cup. Here's another thing, and maybe this is just me, and maybe it's just me getting old. But honestly, this is true. I have times when I'm just kind of in a bad mood, or maybe another way to put it, I'm just unsettled, and I don't know why. Have you ever had that, where you're going, man, there's something bugging me right now? And I don't know, then I got to kind of relive the last hour, and go, why am I feeling this way? Oh, yeah, that's why. Do you ever have that, or is it just old age? Okay, you get that, right? You understand? And you, I can pinpoint and go, oh, that's because that person did this or said this that set me off and got me annoyed, and I'm carrying this annoyance with me even to the extent that I don't even know why I'm annoyed, but I am annoyed. I am annoyed because somebody spit in my cup, right? About 2 hours ago, until I figure it out and I trace it back. I get the thread back to what actually happened, and probably got to deal with that. And I probably got to deal with my heart and how my heart responded to it, because sometimes my heart doesn't respond in love or in compassion. Sometimes I don't treat my enemies with utter love. I just want to nail them back. Well, one of the things that we're learning today is that if you want to talk about what's really going on in the inside of our heart, we need to realize that often we're just reacting to whatever was done to us and using the very same measure, and that's not Christ-like. It isn't what he tells us to do, and that when we do that, the inside of our cup has some floaties in it that we need to get rid of. I think that, I'm going to not go on too long here, but I think the important question that I want to kind of get to here, though, is, having said all of this and having challenged you and me about what's going on in the inside of the cup, is I think the important question today is how do we know? I want you to listen to this question. How do we know what's really inside? Because I think I've come to believe that we're not even always that good ourselves at knowing our hearts. We think we know our hearts. We want to have a good heart. We defend our hearts, but do we really know our hearts? And I want to give you a good example of how you can tell what's going on inside. We can tell what's going on inside our hearts by the way that we react to the pressures and to the trials that come our way. That's a very biblical concept. You can tell your heart is kind of like a sponge. And when life squeezes you, when there's pressure on you, when you've been falsely accused, or your good friend has betrayed you, or you lose a job, or you get a bad diagnosis from a doctor, what happens is your heart gets squeezed. And when your heart gets squeezed, you find out what you're really made of. And sometimes it's really disappointing to see. You follow me? When your heart gets squeezed, when my heart gets squeezed, sometimes it takes me a day later to go, wow, I didn't do that very well. I sure didn't react very well to her when that happened. When your heart gets squeezed, we find out what's truly in us, whether we really essentially are merciful and loving and kind, and whether we really have joy. There's joy, man. There's joy. You following that? And so sometimes, and I'm just, this is a message, because I know there's a lot of us, all of us have had trials before, but some of us are in the middle of trials right now. Big trials. Really tough things going on in our lives, in our marriages, at work, or whatever it is. And I want to remind you of something that you will not want to be reminded of the verse that the verse that we most love to hate. Consider it pure joy, yeah. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. You're supposed to go, yoo-hoo, I'm having an awful day here. This is great. Everyone's against me. I had people judging me. Yes. And they're offended. Yeah, well, consider it pure joy. Because you know, you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Did you get that? We need to look at the trials that are happening in our lives and thank God for them, because it's how He purifies the inside of the cup. We go through the trials, we go through the hard things. Believe me, I've experienced those things like you have in your life. And those are always an opportunity. Listen to me. Those are always an opportunity for God to work on my heart. It's always when my heart gets squeezed that I'm reminded of what's true inside of there and what isn't true, and that God just wants my heart to be more pure. So consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of all kinds. And then later on in verse 12, he says, "And blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life." Amen. You can clap for that one. Yeah, that's a good one. So some of you who are really going through it right now, and you know that it's just a fire. Your life is a fire, and it's like walking through a river. Isaiah talks about those kind of metaphors, and you got a really hard thing that you're facing right now, that this trial is used by God so that your heart will be a heart that pleases Him and a heart that's pure. And that the challenge is, here's the challenge, at least the way I see it, the challenge is that we need to see beyond our circumstances. That sometimes all we do is we stare ourselves blind looking at the problem we've got. Here's the problem I've got. I don't have a job. Or we've got this cancer diagnosis. And all I see is that. That is the thing. I eat it. I breathe it. It's the only thing I know in my life. It's the circumstance that is troubling me right now. You need to get beyond it. You need to see down the road further than what you're looking. You're only looking right here. You need to see that God's got a bigger plan. He has a way bigger plan. He has a way bigger plan. He has a way bigger plan. Amen. You need to see past. You need to see past our circumstances. Whatever that thing is that you're struggling with, don't let it defeat you. Again, another weird analogy or illustration, but once in a while, I FaceTime with my kids, and my Wi-Fi isn't very good, and sometimes it sticks, and you get this really weird picture. You ever had that before? And they're talking away, and they go, and that's the picture that I got, right? And sometimes it's there for 30 seconds. I think that's what life is for me and for you, too. When we're stuck in our circumstance, it's like you've paused your life on that one event, right? This one horrible thing that's happening to you, this challenge that you've got in your life, you're stuck. You're on pause. And you got to see beyond it. Life is a movie. It's not one bad picture. It's not one bad picture. Why we need each other is we encourage each other in these words. We encourage each other to love. Encourage each other to be the body of Christ. Encourage each other that when it feels like your life is stuck on that one really bad picture, that we need to hear, you know what, it's not. And that God allows you to go through the trial because He cares about your heart. He cares about what's inside. And now just to the end here, the conclusion. I'm doing this for your sake because I know you're trying to stay awake. He's got good reason. He's been working all night. The rest of you don't have a good reason. He gets off work like at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I'm trying to be really, like, not entertaining, but I don't want to be boring. I don't want to be boring. Right, Louis? So if you're losing me, you know, just stand up. But here's where I want to end today. Back to what I just finished saying, that I don't think we even know our own hearts sometimes. I'm not sure that we know our own hearts. I believe that, at least I wonder if the Pharisees, when they heard Jesus talk, if they didn't say, you know, my heart's fine. I don't think I got a problem. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a good Pharisee. I'm a pretty accurate teacher of the law. I don't think that they really thought that the inside of the cup was a problem. They didn't know it. And I'm guessing that that's true for me, and it's true for you too, that we don't even know ourselves sometimes. In Kings, in the Old Testament, I'm just going to read you this one verse. In 1 Kings 8, it says this, "O God, will you hear from heaven? Will you forgive an act and deal with each man according to all that he does? Since," now listen to these words, "since God, you know his heart, for you alone know the hearts of all men." I'm not a really good judge of my own heart. Sometimes I way overshoot it. I think I'm doing way better, or I'm way closer to God, or I'm showing love way better than I really am. That the best judge, Rick's laughing at me, you go, "Yeah, that's for sure. Preach it, brother. You're not too good at that." The real judge of our hearts is God. And so, this morning, the challenge that I want to leave you with is I want you to ask God to show you your heart. You think you know your heart. The Pharisees thought they knew their hearts. And it's a scary prayer. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit convicts. He convicts the world of guilt. He convicts us of our sin. We're going to pray for this morning. Because what's important is what's inside the cup. And there's still some floaties in some of our cups that we want to spit out. But we do that by praying a bold prayer. And it's a bold prayer because when you ask God to show you your heart, you might find some things that you don't want to know. And I kind of know this a little bit by experience because I tried this. I tried it yesterday. I said, "Okay, God, we're going to do this tomorrow. I believe this is the way you're leading me. So show me my heart." Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what it is. This is private stuff. But he did. He showed me my heart. He said, "Okay, well, what about that? And Stan, what about this?" I kept having to go. There's like three things. I kept having to go, "Yeah, all right." I kind of forgot about that one, right? So today, we're going to ask God in a prayer that he shows you and that he reveals to me what's on the inside of the cup. Because the last thing that we want is to be found like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, where we are so confident in our righteousness and where we look down on others. So let's just close our eyes. God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you're in the business of cleaning up our hearts. You're so good. And I just ask you, Holy Spirit, that you'll do what you do right now. Would you just show us our hearts? Would you show us the things that we're not seeing? Maybe some things that we've seen for so many years that we've accepted them as being normal, or that's who we are, when it isn't what you want us to be. We pray, God, today that what will flow from the inside of the cup is going to be love and forgiveness and acceptance and kindness and faithfulness and joy. God, I just need that. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to convict us of sin. Just right now, remind us of who we really are. And just affirm, too, that it's okay. Because we're covered under the blood of Jesus. You've got your hand over the cup so that the spit can't get in anymore because of your blood. Thank you, Jesus. But we want to be more and more like you. We want to be like you, Lord. Where you cared for the poor and you ate with the prostitutes and at your table were the tax collectors. So we examine our hearts right now. Just reveal it, God. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. I want to be more like you, God, and less like religious leaders. And we also know, God, that every one of us has been on the other end of that, where we've been judged and where people have offended us and where we just didn't feel like we added up. Just take that away too. Remind us right now that we are loved by God, that we are precious in your sight, that like we sang so many times this morning, that you hold us in your hand, that being with you is a safe place. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to sing a little bit here and worship just quietly. To keep praying. Just ask God to show you. Just pray, Lord, show me my heart. I want to know my heart. Open the eyes. Open the eyes. My heart. Open the eyes, God. Right now, just open the eyes. Open my eyes. Show me my heart, Lord. Show me my heart, Lord. I'm asking you to open my eyes. Wanna be like you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. You high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Just pray this now. Open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. We just cry out to you, God. Open the eyes of my heart. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Just put your hand on your heart right now. See you high lifted up, shining of your glory. Pour out your power and love. See you sing holy, holy, holy. Just show us, God. Open our eyes. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Yeah, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. See you. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. So God, thank you for what you've revealed. And it is intimate and it's personal, and it's pretty challenging sometimes. But we also know, God, and believe today that you give us a strength, power, and that you refine what needs to be refined in us. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for the inside cups, for who we really are. May we be more and more like you, our holy God. Thank you, Jesus, that where we're not, your blood is sufficient. Always is. We're not saved. We're not redeemed by the outside of the cup. Purchased with your blood. Just say thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. Amen. All right. That story ended way better than it started. I'm glad for that. If there's anyone here today, we're going to close here, but if there's anyone today, you need prayer, there's just something you're really struggling with, someone you can't forgive, or something deep inside that you want someone to pray about, I'm just going to ask you to come forward. You can do that right after this. I want to give you this blessing like we always do. Why don't you stand? Why don't we rise to our feet? This is how God blesses us. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. God loves you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Those of you who want to